We come around the Word of God now. Let's turn again to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to read the middle segment, verses 13 to 20. Last week we spoke particularly on the confession of Peter. The Lord said to his disciples, "Guys, who do people say that I am?" And then they refer to different prophets. But none, they said, implied that no one in the crowd, no one surrounding Jesus actually was saying, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah." They had not understood who he was. They knew he was a prophet and a good teacher. But Peter, speaking on behalf of the disciples, he had a revelation. The Lord quickened him and he says, "Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Son. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the Anointed One. You are the one prophesied in Scripture." And Jesus says, "Wow, that is a revelation from God." And the Lord then says, on that confession, knowing that Jesus is divine, the deity of Christ, the church will be built. Hallelujah. It's built on Jesus. Jesus, the head of the church. Isn't that wonderful? That's amazing. But we're going to look at another verse here this morning. Let's read this segment. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, for Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then Jesus commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 19, "I will give you, Peter, the keys of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Binding and loosing. Binding and loosing. Guys, there's much false teaching on spiritual warfare. There's misinterpreting of Scripture. False teaching at its lowest level is a hindrance to our spiritual walk, isn't it? It's a hindrance to our true spiritual living, because we might be taken off track and get involved in something or in some teaching which isn't of God, and it could damage us until we repent and get back to the truth. But at its worst, it can be severely destructive to the believer spiritually, emotionally, socially, and even physically. And what affects the individual can affect the church. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 9 which says this. 1 Corinthians 13, "For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know just as I also am known." We are still searching the scriptures. We want true revelation from the Lord. We don't want to be sidetracked. But God is very graciously revealing his precious truth to us. What you and I, what we need to do is to hold on to the teaching of Jesus. We need to hold on to the teaching of Jesus. Yes, we need a revelation from Christ himself, don't we? Why? Jesus said something in the Gospels. He said something quite precious. He says to you, he says to me, if you hold on to my teaching, if you, child of God, living in the 21st century, hold on to my doctrine, you are truly my disciples. You're showing yourself to be a follower of me. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is simply saying this. If you hold on to my teaching, you're holding on to me. You're holding on to me. Jesus sets you free. Jesus sets you free. Which also means, praise be to the Lord, that when the Holy Spirit brings light on the Word of God, when he illuminates it to us, when it truly is a light to our path, fresh revelation comes to us. Surely you, like myself, have had the experience from time to time when you're looking at a passage of Scripture and something just hits you between the eyeballs. And it's been in that Scripture since the canon of Scripture was written. It's been in your Bible since you owned the Bible. But for the first time, it's come, as it were, like a new revelation. It's not new, but it's come fresh to you. It's manna to you. Well, it opens up something wonderful to you. You feed on it. It's lovely. And that's what we want even to this morning. Because when that comes as a revelation, it comes as freedom. It frees us. If you know me, if you know the truth, you will be free. Hallelujah. And friends, when that happens, a door is closed that Satan legally has used to attack us. Because when we're ignorant of Scripture, when we're ignorant of truth, or if we're naive, or we've believe what somebody else has written or spoken and not actually got it from the Lord, Satan takes advantage of us. But once we believe what Jesus is saying and it enters our spirit, that legal hold Satan had on you, your life is closed. That door is closed. Hallelujah. You are free. A revelation has come to you. And it's from the Lord himself. It's from his word. Now, obviously, brothers, sisters, don't be naive. Hell will not lose out. Will not suddenly stop trying to attack you and undermine you and to try and take you on a different road, on a different path. But that is why we put on the armour of God. That is why we stay close to Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. Hallelujah! It's the voice of the Good Shepherd. When we hear Jesus, we're free. We are free. We can resist Satan because we've submitted to God. We're believing in God. We are hearing but through the Word of God, and we have faith in Jesus. Satan flees. Legally, what Satan had over us should be no more. Hallelujah. That's freedom. That is wonderful freedom. But hell is not going to stop attempting to rob you or destroy you. And of course, deception feeds on ignorance. In Hosea chapter 4, the word of God says, my people, my special people, my blood bought people are being destroyed through lack of knowledge. Not knowledge that would just puff up our minds and make us proud, but knowledge which impacts the spirit, the soul, and then, you know, we're obedient, faith acts, and we need to know the truth. The truth, we said, we need to know Jesus more and more. Finally, one thing I'm absolutely persuaded of, hear me, I've been there. One thing I am absolutely persuaded of. Focus on the devil, he will show up. Focus on Christ, he shows up. So if we're talking spiritual warfare, focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Christ. So our text says, again I say to you, that if... the wind has blown my page. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. How to live in the kingdom now? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Why is the Lord saying that? Because when you put God first, you miss nothing, but you inherit everything. Young people, when you put God first, you miss nothing of worth, but you inherit everything. Seek first God's kingdom. Giving keys, of course, signifies trust, doesn't it? In the olden days, when you became 21, your parents gave you the key. They trusted you with the key. You were grown up sufficiently that you could have your own key. You weren't given it until you was 21. Of course, it's different today. Circumstances have changed and so on. But it signifies, hey, you're no longer a little boy, no longer a little girl. You've matured sufficiently. Here's the key. We are trusting you to look after the house and its contents. You're old enough. You've matured enough. So giving of keys is saying that we're entrusting you. You are now you're now able to be trusted. We are giving you authority. In the scriptures, they are used as a symbol of authority, of power. And here it is given to Peter. We just read it in verse 19. It's given to Peter for his role in establishing the church at Pentecost. And the subsequent days, which you read about in the Acts of the Apostles. Now, the judicial meaning of binding and loosing was to bind, to punish. And to loose was to release from punishment, to free from punishment. That was the judicial interpretation. Then there was the legislative meaning, which was if you were to bind something, you were forbidding it. You was forbidding something. To loose something, you were permitting it. You were allowing it. That was the legislative meaning of binding and loosing. And we see Peter using the keys which the Lord has entrusted to him in the book of Acts. The church was born. Hallelujah. How did Peter use his authority? By, under the inspiration of God, opening the doors to different groups of people so that they could become part of the body of Christ. He used the keys legatively, loosing, to permit that which was formerly not permitted, such as the Gentiles, to be part of God's kingdom, to come into God's kingdom. The gospel was preached. The Gentiles believed. Hallelujah. This is about evangelism. Glory to God. The keys of heaven were the gospel. The gospel was going to be effective on earth. Hallelujah. Peter also used his keys in a judicial way. For example, Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied against the Holy Spirit, binding, punishing. He used these keys also in a legislative way. You remember it was spoken about at Home Fellowship on Wednesday. When in Acts chapter 10, he has this amazing vision, etc. Okay? And the Lord was telling him to eat what was on the sheet, as it were. But Peter refused. He said, no, under the Mosaic law, we can't eat that. That is forbidden. Forbidden. What was once forbidden is now permitted. Peter concludes that the Lord has cleansed all by his blood. Binding, imprisoning, and loosing implies making decisions on or allowing matters on earth that once they have been agreed on earth to be released, supported in heaven. Allowing or forbidding matters on earth when once they have been agreed on, providing they are in the will of God, in agreement with the will of God, will be supported in heaven. Will be agreed on in the celestial. Now these matters could be in many, many areas of life, but of course, mainly spiritual, but also social, physical, political, and material. Now the Lord Jesus Christ has called out his church. If you're a believer, you're one of the, you've been called out. Calling out from the world, you're now part of his body. You're separated. You become redeemed. You have his life in you. Glory to his name. But the Lord has given to his church the power of agreement on matters between us in the body of Christ and in heaven. This is great responsibility and authority. The Lord has given to his church the power of agreement between earth and heaven. What is the minimum numbers that we can operate to have this authority? What is the minimum number that we can have to operate in this authority, which Jesus just granted me? He said, I'm giving you the keys.
Two.
Two could be a church. Two could be a church. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Verse 18. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. That is pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? Get your head round that. Two or more people Therefore, constitute a church with the power on earth to receive the complete backing of heaven on whatever matters they're entrusted with. If they're agreed on earth and it's in accordance with God's word, they have the complete backing of heaven. I really want us to get hold of this because it's going to transform our individual lives and this church. There's so much teaching going on. If you read, for example, Peter Wagner's books, some of it is great stuff, but it will have led you down bypath meadow. It's taken you off track about spiritual warfare. Whatever we agree on earth is then left to heaven to fulfill the rest. That's where faith comes in. If you agree on earth, unitedly agree on earth, and your faith is in Jesus and his word, heaven will fulfill it, and we can have confidence that God will do the rest. Whatever you agree on earth will be done in heaven. What does this include? Well, heaven's role in directly overcoming the evil spiritual forces that try to oppose us. Whatever has been considered a binding matter between heaven and earth, God's mercy, God's power, God's authority can release, loose. Whatever binding forces have been over your life, your circumstances, your family, God can release. If it's agreed on earth, God does the releasing. God does the freeing. God lets loose. That's powerful. That's wonderful. Friends, we do not have it as part of our remit to interfere as to how God's government deals with these matters in the heavenly or the celestial realm. We don't. That's not part of our remit to interfere with what God is doing in the celestial, the heavenly realm, what his government is doing. Our jurisdiction, our remit is down here. Our remit, our jurisdiction is on earth, okay? Our authority over whatever spiritual matters, social matters that exist on earth, whatever you bind on earth. We must also see this passage which we've just read, these verses from Matthew 18, in context, of course, because he teaches the disciples that if a brother sins and will not repent, and going through the proper steps, bringing him before the church, if he will not hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen. This is what Jesus is saying. Then Jesus tells them about binding and loosing. And where two or three are gathered in his name, it is done. This passage is about the authority of the church. It's not actually about casting out demons per se. It's about the authority of the church. In Psalm 115, there's a precious verse, Psalm 115, verse 16, which says, "The highest heaven belongs to God, but the earth has been given to man." So, what is God saying, I believe? Only the Lord, only God himself has the power to command his heavenly realms. Only God has power to command his heavenly realms. I fear so much so-called spiritual warfare trespasses into the celestial, the heavenly realms, which are outside our domain. Our domain is earthly, terrestrial. We don't have to stamp our feet, shake our fists. There's no mention of doing spiritual warfare by yelling at spirits in the air. Rather, we are told in Ephesians 6 to put on the full armour of God. Rather, we are told to humble ourselves, to repent, to beseech our Lord to remove principalities that blight and curse our life, our lives, of our family, and perhaps our town and our surroundings. What is the only celestial realm that we have access to? The kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God. Our Lord Jesus has given us the keys to the God's heavenly kingdom. This does not mean that we command and demand, but it does mean that we have access to God's throne. We have direct access to the King of Kings. That's mighty. That is powerful. And it is our Father's house that true believers have access to. I think this is amazing. I think it's wonderful. What a privilege. Hebrews 4 informs us that we have access to the throne of grace. We have access to God's wisdom. We have access to God's power. Yes, every provision that we need for fulfilling our callings, we have access to. The entire kingdom of God is on our side. The entire kingdom of God is on our side. Yes, friends, even agreeing on earth regarding our loved ones. And as we pursue the kingdom of God, Satan's work is destroyed in their lives. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be. It will be carried out at God's command. Glory to his name. We have been given the keys. It's a kingdom of light and joy we've been given keys to. It's a kingdom of light, of joy, of power, of joy, mirth, excellence. But we do not have the keys to hell and to Hades. Listen, we do not. We do not have the keys to the residence of Satan and his host. Therefore, we do not have access to the territory where these celestial beings live and have their influence of evil. We do not. We do not. We do not. Our keys is to something far more glorious. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who has all power. Who can command, and it is done. Hallelujah. But unfortunately, and I've been there, through faulty teaching and the desire by many to be active, to be seen to be doing something, to be seen as perhaps extra spiritual and powerful. We have many folks in Christendom verbally binding and loosing angels, demons, circumstances and a billion other things, even though I can't see any evidence of it in the scripture. Am I speaking against casting out, delivering some demons? No, I'm not. We will deal with that another time. That is something sadly being neglected. Sadly being neglected. Who holds the keys of Hades, of death, of hell? Jesus does. Revelation 1 verse 18. He says, I hold the keys of death and Hades. Which means, listen, get this into your gut. Even Satan doesn't hold the keys to his own domain. Does he? So what are you fearing?
21.
What? We should be rejoicing this morning. This should be liberating us. The truth should be setting us free. Satan doesn't even have the keys to his own domain. Unfortunately, because he wants the church doing other things other than trusting, believing, and doing the works of righteousness, doing good works which are making a difference to this world and seeing souls saved and delivered, he's seduced, deluded many to think that they can enter his celestial territory and fight him there. He has. We've been there. Most of us have been there. In Jude, there's some verses in Jude chapter, Jude in verses 8 to 10, where Jude. Yet in verse 8, likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them. Look, Satan is going to be forever punished soon. He's going to be forever punished. Forever. Praise God. What we need to understand, that in this life, in this present realm, Satan has been given a certain sphere. The authority we use is Christ. And so in Jude, these early false teachers were bragging, they were boasting. They didn't even know how to keep their mouths shut when speaking against certain dignitaries. What if Satan could get Christians, believers, to spend their time rebuking spirits instead of praying to God? And could actually get them to boast against the spiritual entities. Think of what distraction that would cause. And it has. It has. It has. We have the tremendous privilege. Brothers, sisters, boys, girls, cats, dogs, we have the tremendous privilege to honour and present to God matters what his heavenly government have the authority and access to. We do. I'm believing the sovereign Lord will commit his forces to pull down and demolish strongholds when we give him the sovereign power and we agree on it. Just a very simple thing, because I've been searching God, I've been searching the scriptures for many, many weeks now about this, because I'm fearful to bring any wrong teaching. And again, you know, if you've misunderstood or I've said something which you just cannot agree with, search the scriptures, come back to me. I really do mean that. I've really been seeking the Lord. I take these responsibilities, as Alex and Mark do, very, very, very seriously. I've been seeking the Lord. And, you know, even in the matter of the car, really prayed, I really sought the Lord. And I knew that if I did honour God, if I asked God and others agreed with me in prayer, God would sovereignly and powerfully work on the behalf of his children, on his child. And he has. I didn't have to scream at anybody, didn't have to scream at the devil, didn't have to scream at evil spirits. I just had to put the armour of God, make sure it was on, and on earth agree with heaven. And he did it. He did it. He released his goodness, his grace, his power. And sometimes he can use people, often does, to display his awesome power and get his work done on earth. I believe the Lord commits his forces to pull down and demolish strongholds. Jesus, our Lord Jesus, has access to overcome forces and powers, which perhaps are too mighty for us, but not for our Lord. Forces and powers which invade people and circumstances and matters. He has all authority. And in Christ, we can agree with him and see his will done on earth, his kingdom come. He opens and closes any doors he pleases. He is able, even this morning, to open a door for you, for your ministry in Christ, regardless of the enemy's legal claims over you, your family, your circumstances. He's able to do that. You agree with Jesus? He can open that door. That is his right. So if you're feeling restricted, held back, in bondage, agree with somebody. This is what the Word of God says. Let Jesus sovereignly release his power. And you find freedom. Finally, we confirm that the authority of Jesus Christ and his power that has been entrusted to you and to me, if you're one of his chosen ones, if you are received Jesus Christ by faith, if you are seeking to follow him, you own him as Lord, the power that he has entrusted to you and to me, we must take authority over the evil spirits that have attacked and invaded people. More on this another time. But there are demonic influences and demonic possessions. And we will see how the Lord's people exercise these keys in Christ to see people delivered and set free. Let us increasingly, though, become preoccupied with Jesus Christ, please. Let us become more and more focused, preoccupied on Jesus. Focus on the devil, he'll show up. Focus on Christ, he shows up. Jesus is our hope. He is our confidence. He is our authority. What a precious gospel we have been given. His kingdom, ministered through us, is still the hope of this community and nation. We've been given some keys. God is so gracious. May he help us to be faith-filled people. Amen.